The Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia Daf Chaf Amud Aleph teaches us a memra of Shmuel, which is a very bechiddush. Amar Shmuel Amoychistar Choyv L'Chaveroi. Somebody sells a receivable. V'chazer, that means the malva. Aloyva owed the malva money. And the malva went and sold that receivable to someone else. The halacha is, v'chazro yimachloi, and then after the malva sold it to a third party, he was moichel, the loiva's obligation to him. The halacha is machel. And at this point, the loiva does not have to pay the person to whom the malva sold the chayf. The Rishonim debate why. Why, after he sold this shtar chayf, can he be still moichel it? It's not his. He sold it to someone. The Rambam holds, because the entire concept, the Rambam is in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis, that the entire halacha that one can sell a shtar chayv is only midrabanan, and the din, that's the fact that someone can be moichel a chayv is a deraisa. So obviously the din deraisa, the one can be moichel that obligation, supersedes the din derabanan that you could sell the shtar chayv. Rabbeinu Tam has a different approach. He says that every chayv is a combination of two obligations. One is a personal obligation that the loiva personally obligates himself to pay the money he owes to the malva. And the second part is a financial obligation, as the shtar indicates, that the loiva owes the malva this and this amount of money. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the only thing that one could sell, or one could sell, is a financial obligation. That's something tangible, and you could only sell something that's tangible. You can't, however, sell a personal obligation that exists between people. And since everything involved in the choiv emanates from the shibud, the personal shibud, so if the malva is moichel to the loiva, that personal shibud, all the other obligations and responsibilities that come from this will automatically fall away as well. The Ritva has a different approach. He says, a very bechiddush, he says that when a malva sells to a loikeach, a shtar choiv, there's an implied understanding that this sale is only valid if I won't be moichel the chayv. But if I'm moichel the chayv, then the sale is obviously null and void. This halacha of Shmuel is brought down in Chosh Mishpat, Simen Samech Vav, Sif Chaf Gimel. However, there's a number of points that need to be made besides the basic understanding why can one be moichel. Tosfos over here, the Rav Maskil Shmamino says that if the sale was done b'mamet shloshtan, that if the malva, the loiva, and the lokeach were all there, then the malva doesn't have the right to be moichel the chayf. The Rosh explains what Malmet Shloshtan accomplishes is it transfers the entire obligation, not just the financial obligation, but the personal obligation from the loiva, from the malva to the, from the loiva to the malva, from the loiva to the malva, now it goes to the lekeach. That's how the Rosh learns. And the Rosh explains, because the whole kinyan of Mamet Shloshtim is a chiddush, so this is included in that chiddush. The Ran seems to take a different approach. He says, what Mamet Shloshtim accomplishes is it cancels the old chayv and creates a new chayv. So the question is, will a Mamet Shloshtim indeed help? And therefore, if someone who buys a receivable wants to protect himself, that the malva should not be able to be moichel the chayv, all he should do is make sure that this kinyan should be done by Mamet Shloshtim. So the Shach and Choshe Mishpat, Simon Samech Vov, Sif Kotten, Tzadik Zayin, discusses this issue. He says two conditions. He says maybe only by a milva al peh will a Mamet Shloshtim be able to accomplish this. Or he says that even by a milva b'shtar, yes, a Mamet Shloshtim will make that the kinyan, that it'll be immune from mechila, but says the Shach, the chayiv will turn from being a milva b'shtar into a milva al peh. So if the malva will decide to be moichel the chayiv, yes, his mechila will not be effective because the kinyan was done by Mamet Shloshtim, but it will be effective enough that it will only be now considered a milva al peh, not a milva b'shtar. And we who are learning these sugyas in Masechta Matzia know that a milva al peh has the inherent weakness that you can't go after lekuchas. With this, the Shach, with these words of the Shach, we could answer that our Gemara, how did this sugya come here? Because the Gemara was concerned that a woman maybe sold her ksuba while she was still married. And the Gemara says, well, that she, and now we can't, should we trust her or not trust her? Why don't we just say that she, and the Gemara says, she anyway could be moichla ksuba if she sold it. So ask Toysus, well, why don't we say she sold it, but Mamet Shloshtim, and then she be, can't be moichel it anyway, says the Shach. Nada was saying that Mamet Shloshtim has all of these limitations, so that wouldn't have been an answer that the Gemara would have given. There's another interesting question that the Paiskim discuss around the Shaila. The Malva sold the shtar choyv to an individual. This individual, we're learning now, the malva can be moichel the loiva. But what would be the halacha if this lokeach, let's say Reuven owes Shimon $100. Shimon went and sold that receivable to Levi. So we're learning now that Shimon still can be moichel that receivable. What would be the halacha if Levi owes Reuven also $100? So can Levi now say, yes, Shimon was moichel the $100 that you owe him, but now the $100 that I owe you, I won't have to pay either? So Renach says that what the selling of the shtar choyv accomplishes, that much it does accomplish. That if he won't be able to collect the receivable, if he won't be able to collect the receivable, he at least won't have to pay what he owes the loiva. The lokeach won't have to pay what he owes the loiva. Many achroinim disagree, and they say these are two separate transactions. And Shach and the Nesivis say one transaction has nothing to do with the other transaction, and just because the Malva was Moicha the Loiva does not mean that the Lokeach does not have to pay the Loiva any money he owes to him. So the other question that now obviously comes up is the Malvus was Michael the Schoif. So does he have to pay back to the Lokeach the amount that he paid for the Schoif? And if he has to pay back, what does he have to pay back? So there's a number of opinions in the Rishonim. The Ran's opinion is that he has to pay the face value of the receivable, because that's what he was mafsed him. And there's a halacha of Garmi that if somebody causes damage, and even though it's not direct damage, it's sort of indirect, we discussed this extensively in Masechta Bava Kama, but since it's damage that is certain to come, and not only is it damage that is certain to come, it's damage that happens immediately, those were the conditions we established make something be considered garmi. So the halacha is that this is a situation of garmi, and he has to pay the value of this document. The Ritva says no. The Ritva says there would be cost involved in making the collection and going to the Ntaira or whatever other discounts may be applicable. All those should be deducted from the face value of the chayv, and that's how much should be paid back. However, so according to these Rishonim, it seems you're going to have to, the Malva is going to have to pay a very significant amount to the Lokeach. Not only will he have to pay a significant amount, but it's very possible, it's very likely he's going to pay more than he received. Because let's think about it. Who is going to buy a receivable? A person who's going to buy a receivable is going to buy a receivable at a discount. So he paid less than the face value of the chayv. And even though he paid less than the face value of the chayv, according to the Ran, he's going to get the whole value. According to Ritva, he may take some out of the discount. However, the Shach quotes the Raven, who says that doesn't make any sense. Yes, the Malva, we can make a strong argument, did something inappropriate by being Meichel. He first sold the chayv to the Malva, and now he first sold his chayv to the Malva, and now he's going and being Meichel, he's sold to the Lokeach, and now he's going to be Meichel, so he should pay back what he got. But he doesn't have to pay back more. What is the basis of this machloikis? It could very well be that the basis of this machloikis goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of our shir. Why could someone be Michael Machayv? Why can after you sold it can you be Michael? Is it because the sale was never a sale? Or is Pshat that the sale was a sale, but it was a sale that was made on condition? If we'll say that the sale was a sale that was made on condition, so just like the Malva sold it, the Lokeach, when he bought it, should have recognized that he's taking a risk when he buys this chayv, and that he may end up losing, and he may end up losing his money. And if the Malva indeed ended up being meichel the chayv, he will not get paid back. If, however, we take the approach of the Rabbah, that the Rabbah says the sale was a sale, but it was only a sale midrabbanon, so now you want to say that the ability to be moichel is an ability d'oraisa, which supersedes the sale, which is only a sale d'rabbanon, so it cancels the sale. And if it cancels the sale, then give back what you got. And therefore, what will the malbah have to return to the lokeach? The amount that he received. If, however, we follow the approach of Tosfos, that says that there are two parts to a chayiv, the shibud aguf and the shibud hanechasim, and you only could sell the shibud nechasim, but the shibud nechasim was sold. And once the shibud nechasim was sold, if now you undo it, you're going to have to pay for the entire value of the chayiv. So it turns out that the three-way machloikus rishonim that we quoted at the beginning of our shir, why such a sale, why this mechila works, will have a direct impact what happens after the mechila was actually done.